Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
I'm going to read you a section from this new translation that I'm in the process of just doing the final edits of. The rationale behind this, as I've made clear, I had no intention of doing a new translation of the New Testament, never had any desire to do that. And when the Lord spoke to me about this, you know, my first question was, why? Because there's lots of English translations. And what the Lord showed me is that, I mean, nearly all these translations that we have available to us are written by academic theologians, they're translated by academics. And the Lord said, I want a translation that is not academic in its approach, but brings out the meaning of the words. You see, when there's translation from one language to another, if you're going to bring out the meaning, there has to be a certain degree of interpretation. I've ministered in well over 40 nations, and at lunchtime today, Caroline and I will be leaving for a French-speaking conference, which is actually going to be in a German conference center, just over the border. But we're leaving for there, and we'll be there until Friday. And I've been interpreting in many different languages, and interpreters always say the best interpretation doesn't translate exactly what you say, but gives the people the meaning of what they say in their own language. That's good interpretation, and you call those that translate you interpreters rather than translators. That if you translate something slavishly from one language to another, you don't necessarily get the right meaning, and sometimes you can get the wrong meaning because different words have different meanings in different languages. So, just listen to part of 2 Corinthians rather than try to follow it in your Bible, because this is trying to, it's been a bit of an awesome task, let me tell you, to try to draw out the meaning and yet still stay true to the text and not write a commentary. So anyway, no matter how you evaluate it, this is what I've done in obedience. Now the Spirit is the Spirit of the Lord God. And where His Spirit is present, people have been set free. So our faces are not covered or veiled, but we are all able to reflect the Lord's glory. The more that glory is revealed in us, the more like Him we become. So this glory that comes from the Lord is continually increasing in our lives because the Spirit of glory lives in us. Therefore, we have no cause to be downhearted, because by God's mercy, we have been given this ministry of glory. For this reason, we have put all shameful ways behind us and have nothing to hide. We do not deceive people, nor do we try to make God's word say what we want it to say. Quite the opposite. We proclaim the truth simply and clearly so that everyone can see our integrity before God. If the gospel we preach is not understood, this is only because those who are perishing are blind to the truth. The God of this age has blinded their minds and understanding so that they are incapable of receiving the glorious light of Christ, who is exactly like God the Father, and is revealed through the gospel. So we do not preach for our own glory or adulation, but as your servants to reveal Jesus to you. For God has declared, light is to shine where before there was darkness. And so He has caused His light to shine in our hearts. He has given us the light that comes from knowing God's glory in our experience as revealed through the person of Christ. We already have this treasure of Christ's glory in our bodies, which are but clay jars by comparison. it is evident that this power is greater than any other power that is already within us, a gift from God, not something we could produce ourselves. There are times when we seem to be surrounded by insurmountable problems, but we are never crushed or defeated by them. At times we are thoroughly perplexed about why certain things happen to us, but we never despair. We are persecuted for our faith, but God never abandons us. Even if we are sometimes struck down by some adversity, we are not destroyed. For when we suffer in our bodies, we share in Jesus' own passion and death, so that his risen life may also be revealed through our bodies. While we are in the world, it seems that we have to die continually to self for Jesus' sake, so that the life of his Spirit can be revealed through our natural bodies. This process of death is at work in us to enable God's life to be at work in you. It is written in the Psalms, "I have spoken what I have believed." By the same spirit of faith, we also believe the truth and speak it openly and boldly, because we know that the Father who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us up with him. Yes, Jesus will present all believers to the Father so we can live eternally in his presence. Whatever we suffer is for your benefit and enables many more people to receive God's grace, causing them to be profoundly thankful that God is glorified in them. Therefore, we are not discouraged. Even if outwardly we seem to grow weaker, yet inwardly we are daily becoming stronger. For the difficulties we face now are only temporary and trivial compared with the eternal glory we inherit. For this reason, we keep our focus not on what we see or experience now, for such things are only temporary. No, we focus on what we do not yet see, but which is ours eternally. Now we are assured that when this earthly tent we live in is destroyed, when we die physically and have finished with these present bodies, we have a new home to look forward to in heaven, a house that has not been constructed with human hands, but an eternal body. We grow tired of our present bodies, longing for the time when we will be clothed with our new heavenly bodies. We will not feel exposed then as we do now. In this present body, we struggle and feel burdened by our sufferings, but our spirits will have new spiritual bodies in heaven. Our mortal lives will give way to the immortal, to eternal life. God has made us his children for this very reason. This is proved by the fact that he has already given us his eternal spirit, the guarantee of our future destiny. Therefore, we have good cause to be confident, no matter what the situation. For we know that while we live in these present bodies, we are not yet at one with the Lord in our heavenly bodies. But we live by faith in what he has promised, not in what we see happening at present. I repeat, we can have absolute confidence that it will be much better when we have finished with these present bodies and have been taken home to be with the Lord eternally. This being the case, we have made it our aim to please him in every way possible, both now in this life and in the life that is to come. For we all have to come before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us will receive the right reward for what he or she has done in this present body. And he will determine what has been good and what has been bad in his eyes. And so on. You know, it's difficult to stop, because actually when you really get into Paul's letters, you realize he's writing a letter. And when you read a letter, you don't read it by installments. You sit down and read the whole letter. And then you get the whole picture. And really, I hope when people use this translation, they won't want to stop, you know, just with a portion for the day, but they'll just want to read a whole letter at a time and really get the import of what Paul is saying. Now, there's like two themes that run through that passage. The principal one is talking about God's glory. And we're just going to concentrate on his glory for a few moments this morning. Those of us that were at Faith Camp know we had a very, very special evening on the Thursday when the glory of God just broke in and invaded the meeting, really. And it ended up with such a tremendous release of joy. I can tell you, evenings like that, it's sometimes difficult to stay upright on the platform. There's such a sense of the Lord's powerful presence. You're almost, it's difficult. It is really, literally difficult to stand up. Because, of course, in heaven, before the glory of God, people fall before Him on their faces. This glory is within you. We'll try that one again. This glory is within you. Listen to what Jesus prayed for you. He prayed for all those who would become believers. He said, I do not pray only for them, but for all those who in the future will believe in me through the truth they shall proclaim. I pray that they will be one in faith and love, Father, in the same way that you and I are always in complete harmony and agreement. You in me and I in you. May they continue to live in us so that the world will believe who I am, the one you sent to be their Savior and Lord. The glory you gave me, I have given to all who believe in me, that they may be united in faith and love, reflecting the unity that is between us as Father and Son. God has already put that glory within you. Because the Spirit of God is the Spirit of glory. And on that Thursday night, I was using that text from 1 Peter, that the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. So the Spirit of glory rests upon you because Jesus has given you the glory. Now, it's really impossible, isn't it, to put the glory of God into words. But the glory of God is light. There is no darkness. It's the eternal, everlasting power and presence of God. It's His holy love. You see, you can't sort of encapsulate the glory of God in a few words. But this Spirit of glory is already within us. And I've taught you for many years that the reason why Jesus said that the Spirit would not be poured out until He was glorified, or at least John explained that, was because the Spirit that lives in us had to take Jesus through the cross, through the resurrection, into the heavenly glory, so that the risen, glorified Spirit is the Spirit that lives in us. Now, last week, we saw that we ourselves remain weak. And in this passage, though it wasn't the passage we used last week, but in this passage, Paul is saying the same thing. We all know the weakness of our human bodies. I've got to the state now where my body won't do what it did when I was 38 instead of 68. And it's frustrating. And there's a bit more stiffness and a few more aches and pains and all the rest of it. And the older ones among you will know what I mean. I was talking on the phone this week to my sister who is older than me, and she was saying, I was saying, how are you getting on? She said, well, I'm doing fine, but my body's getting older. And I knew exactly what she meant. The body is old, it gets weak, and we all know our human frailty. But as Paul says, inwardly we become stronger. Because the more of that glory that God has put within us, the more that glory is revealed, then the more like Him we become. That's what Paul is saying. The more you release that glory, the more like Christ you become. Therefore, the stronger you become spiritually. Hello? You see, there are a lot of people, you know, in church life who think of themselves as being weak and spiritually useless or not very adequate, you know. And if only they would start to give what is put within them, they would grow stronger. They sit around, you know, I usually call them the Saint Miserables. They sit around wanting everybody to minister to them and feel sorry for them, when actually they need to get up off their spiritual backsides and start to do something and start to give and start to serve and start to bless. Then they would become stronger. Then as they gave, they would experience God giving back to them. Good measure, pressed down, shaved together, running over. That's true not only of money. In fact, Jesus wasn't mentioning money when he used that scripture. It's a spiritual principle that as you give, so God gives more back to you. You get stronger in God. Now, what we were discovering last week and through camp and here for the last few months is that our weakness doesn't matter when we are reaching out to love, to bless, to serve, to pray for, to heal people in the name of the Lord. Because we're just channels. And as Paul says in that passage, you know, we're just like clay jars. But the treasure within is the treasure of his glory. It's the treasure of that spirit of glory. So that glory can flow through your life every day. You don't have to experience the glory yourself for that to happen. You don't have to wait till you've had some glorious experience of God. No, the glory can flow through you at any time. Now, all we need to do is just consider for a few minutes how this can happen. Well, let me talk to you about motive. Motive is very, very important in Scripture. God doesn't look simply upon what we do, but the motive with which we do it. And you see, everything that Jesus did in his humanity had a motive. And the motive was that the Father would be glorified in the Son. That everything he did would glorify the Father. Now, this is why he said, I speak no words of my own. I speak only the words my Father gives me to speak. Why? Because if he spoke the words his Father gave him, that would glorify the Father. And then he said, these works I perform, they're not my works. They're the works of the one who sent me. Why did Jesus perform those works then? Because they were the works of the Father, and therefore they glorified the Father. Because what glorifies the Father is doing the will of the Father. So Jesus said to the disciples, by this my Father is glorified, that you, as disciples, you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. So he was saying, he was teaching the disciples to live by the same motive by which he lived. That everything he did was so that the Father would be glorified. Now he is saying to us as his people, let what you do glorify me. Now he has put the spirit of his glory in us, so that when that spirit is released through what we do, he is glorified. Because he can only be glorified by the spirit of glory operating in our lives. Anything we do in our natural selves won't glorify him, because he says that in our natural lives, in our flesh, there dwells no good thing. There's no glory in the flesh. This is not a glorious body. I will have a glorious body in heaven, and so will you. Amen. And that glorious body won't age. Somebody say hallelujah. because it will be an eternal spiritual body. But I contain the glory within this weak human body that I have. Aches, pains, or whatever doesn't alter the fact that the glory is within. And what God wants, therefore, for me and for you is to be a channel of that glory. Paul suffered all kinds of things, didn't he, in his body. He had the 39 stripes 5 times. He was imprisoned. He was shipwrecked. He was stoned and left for dead. I mean, his body suffered in all kinds of ways, but he was totally irrepressible. Nobody could keep the guy down. And you never hear a word of complaint from him about what he had to suffer in the body. Why? Because he wasn't focused on his body. He was focused on the will of God and how, despite all his weakness and frailty humanly, the Spirit of glory could work through him. So, what is our motive when we pray for someone to be healed? That God will be glorified in the healing. It's not that we can mark up some great event in our spiritual diaries or claim that we have been, you know, mightily used of God. It's always interesting to me that you never hear Jesus or any of the other New Testament writers talking about what God had done in their lives or the way he had used them. Jesus never talked about yesterday's miracle. He just performed today's miracle. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And I think that's the kind of expectation that God wants us to have, that, okay, praise God for all the ways he's used us in the past, but today is today. And the Spirit of glory is in us today and will be in us tomorrow. And what matters today and tomorrow is how he flows through our lives and uses us. You see, I could go to this conference this week and say, oh, we've just had a wonderful faith camp and this happened, that happened, and the other happened. And that would be totally meaningless to all those people, because all that matters is what happens in the next few days at that conference. They don't want to hear about miracles and healings and this and that and the other and the glory of God and meeting with God somewhere else in another nation. They want to encounter God for themselves. And we're forever wanting to give people testimony that relates to the past instead of focusing on the present. Hello? Now, if the Spirit of glory is in you, then as you reach out in the name of Jesus, something can be conveyed to that person for the glory of God. If that is really our motive, never mind what you may feel humanly, fear, embarrassment, is it going to happen, isn't it going to happen, all that kind of stuff. If you focus on the spiritual, focus where you are spiritually, then you will see results. Ian Andrews gave a very, very important message on the last morning of camp. I can't go into all that he said now, but it would be worth you getting the recording if you weren't there. And if you were there, it would be you getting the recording and listening to it several times, because it was so important. One of the things he said is that one of the reasons why husbands could pray for their wives and not necessarily see them healed is because they prayed as the husband instead of praying as the priest in the family. You see, their spiritual status is not the same as their natural status. Are you with me? And just when we have been given responsibility by God, we need to see that responsibility from a spiritual perspective, not a natural perspective. Hello? So we can pray for people, you know, out of concern for them, but that is not going to produce the same kind of results if we pray out of the position that God has given us. If we pray from, if you like, the spiritual place where God has put us and that really with which he has equipped us. So, you know, you might want to pray for someone because you love that person and all that is normal and natural, but it's not your love that is going to heal them. You see, it is the power of God and it's the glory of God that is going to actually make the difference. So what we need to do is not just to pray out of human love and compassion, but have compassion by all means, but to have the kind of compassion that Jesus had, the compassion that tapped into the glory of the Father. So that what we expect as we reach out to pray for someone is God is going to be glorified. Can you understand? We're not doing it first and foremost for ourselves, because we ought to pray. We're not even doing it first and foremost for the person who needs to be healed. Hello? We're doing first and foremost that the glory of God can be revealed in that person. Do you remember the disciples asked Jesus about the man that was born blind? Was this the result of his sin or the sins of his parents? And Jesus said, no, neither. It's got nothing to do with that. But this has happened that the glory of God might be revealed. Not that the glory of God will be revealed in the blindness, but the glory of God will be revealed in the healing of the blindness. Are we getting it? So you see, you reach out in the name of Jesus, that the Father will be glorified. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. Where's that fruit going to come from? It's going to come from the Spirit of glory, the Spirit of Christ who is in you. He will glorify the Father in that sick person. When we are witnessing to the lost, why are we doing that? It's not so that lost person escapes hell. That's a byproduct. It's a pretty good byproduct. We're not even actually witnessing to that person so that they may be saved. Does that surprise you? First and foremost, we are witnessing to them that the glory that God created that person for, and that glory that was lost because they sinned, the glory of God would be restored to that person's life. That God will now be glorified in that person because they're saved. That's our motive. Come on, do we have any believers here this morning? Right, now, you see, what God, therefore, wants to do with all of us who belong to the body of Christ, all who are part of Christ Jesus, live in him. He wants to use all of us for his glory every day. And what you do for the Lord will never give him glory, but what he does through you will glorify him. So when you're witnessing, and it is so that God can be glorified in that person when they repent and believe and turn to Christ. When you are praying for the sick person, it's so that God will be glorified. Because he's not glorified in sickness. Now listen. He can be glorified in sick people, but he's not glorified in the sickness. You see, this is why even those that have some kind of infirmity, they can still be mighty witnesses of God. You see someone like Ian Andrews who stutters. Why you think, well, why hasn't God healed him of that? Because One of the things that God seems to like to do is to make sure everybody knows that it's not the person, but it's only God working through the person. So that all the glory goes to God and not to the person. I just don't like it when I see people strutting about stages, you know, doing this and that, and making it appear that they're doing something big and important, when the only one who can do anything that's big and important is the Lord. But the great thing is that he can do big, important things through any of us. He does lots of little things too, because when you serve someone, God is being glorified in that service. When you love someone, God is being glorified in that love. Any way in which you deny yourself and let the Spirit of God work through you gives glory to the Lord. That's what Paul is saying here and in many other passages. This is what Jesus was saying. It is enough for a servant to be like his master.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. You know what? One of the things that sort of amazed me and saddened me over the years is, you know, we can have people that have worked with us. I've had people work with me, and you know, they know next to nothing when they come, and you teach them and you train them and you equip them, and they get anointed and they build up. And then some of them, pride gets in, and they start telling me what's what. And you see, they think now they don't need to be humble anymore. They want to raise themselves above me, which is not scriptural, because it is enough for the student to be like his teacher, not above his teacher. And as soon as I see that spirit of pride in someone, I start praying for them. Because God resists the proud. And you know, and if somebody thinks, oh, now I've become something so important, I don't need to be a servant, I don't need to learn, I don't need to remain in that place of humility, then boy, is that a dangerous sign. Why? Because the glory is now being stolen from the Lord. As soon as you begin to think you are something in yourself, you steal the glory from the Lord. Are you understanding what I'm saying? It's got nothing to do with whether I'm right or wrong. It's got to do with heart attitude. Are you understanding me? It's such an important spiritual principle that Jesus, you see, was gentle and humble in heart. Because without that gentleness, without that humility, what you do will not glorify God.
Amen.
Are you there?
Yes.
It's the heart motive that really matters. So, to know that you're humble and inadequate in yourself is a good thing. Because then when you reach out to love, to serve, to give, to bless, to pray for someone, to be healed, or whatever, you can be a channel of his grace and of his glory. Now, one last thing. If your motive is right, your expectations will be right. If your motive is to glorify the Lord, then you can have every justification in believing that what you do in obedience to the leading of the Holy Spirit is going to result in glory for God. What does that mean? The person's going to get healed. The need is going to get met. Because your motive isn't, as Paul says there, your own adulation, that people say, oh, what a wonderful way God used you. It's not just to meet the need in the person, but but to see the glory of God being revealed in what he does in that person's life. If that is your motive, then that can be your expectation. It's as if, you see, it's not just the words you say, it's what goes on in your heart as you do these things. That, you know, you reach out to pray for someone and your whole attitude is, Lord, I'm reaching out in your name. That means on your behalf. I'm only putting my hand on that person because you're not visibly, physically here to do it. I'm doing it on your behalf. That's what it means to do something in his name. It's my hand, but it's your name. It's your person. It's your power. It's your life. So I'm just the hand. Now, Lord, my motive is that I'm reaching out now with my hand that you will be glorified in this person. Or I'm speaking to this person in order that you will be glorified in that person's life. So give me the words to speak so that whatever is marring your glory in their life will be dealt with. Reach out now, Lord, so that which does not glorify you in this body will be dealt with. And let your glory be revealed. Does anybody understand what I'm saying? See, the glory is within you, so you can be a channel of that glory. Does this sound good? I think it sounds very good. And the point is that it works. That when your motive is to glorify the Lord is glorified. Let's all stand. Praise God. I want you to close your eyes. Now, clearly, if God is going to be glorified, we don't want anything in our lives that doesn't glorify him. Because those things will only hinder us being channels of his glory to others. So, Lord, as we stand in your presence now, we say no to anything and everything in our lives that hinders the revelation of your glory. Any disobedience, any compromise, any moaning, groaning, grumbling, or complaining, any dissatisfaction of any kind. Because we know that you cannot be glorified in any of those negative attitudes. So we say no to all that stuff. And we say yes to what you tell us to do, to rejoice always, to pray continually, and to give thanks in all circumstances, because this is your will. So we thank you, Lord, that no matter what the circumstances, no matter how we feel, the Spirit of glory is within us. And in prayer and reaching out in obedience, we can release that Spirit of glory both in our own lives and to work through us to touch the lives of other people. Thank you, Lord, that our bodies are just clay jars, but they contain this treasure of your glory. And we dare to believe that this week, your glory is going to flow through our lives and out of our lives to bless others around us, so that you will be glorified in them. You will be glorified in those circumstances. That you will be glorified in people that are healed, in needs that are met, in lives that are touched by your love, by your power, by your grace, in whatever way. Lord, we want to prove to be your disciples because we bear much fruit for your glory. We thank you, Lord, that this glory is not a feeling, but it is a reality. And we thank you, Lord, that you have given us responsibility. You have given us a position in the body of Christ so that your light can shine through us, that people will see our good works and give glory to our Father in heaven. Now, Lord, those are your words. And as we stand before you this morning, we desire to see those words fulfilled in our lives this week. Thank you. We don't have to wait till next week. This week will do. Hallelujah. You will work this week through us for your glory. And we bless you, Jesus. We will choose not to listen to our fears, but to listen to our faith. Not to look at the circumstances, but to know that your glory is greater than the circumstances. Not to consider our own weakness, but to know that we're reaching out with your power. So we give you all the glory, Lord, all the honor and the praise for those things that you are going to accomplish in and through us for the praise of your name. Come on, let's just lift our hands. We're going to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, praise him. Hallelujah. Sato bokara sita di sanduba. Baratapa karasitaba. Just say this after me. The Spirit of glory and of God rests upon me. The Spirit of glory is going to work through me. This week and every week. So what I say and what I do will bring glory to the Father and will bless other people in the process. And more of that glory will be revealed in me so that I become more like Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on, let's praise the Lord.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.